to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 17th year. This week, we feature an interview with Earl Hall, the CEO of Axis.ai, on how the cloud-based technology can help casino operators serve their customers with more efficiency and speed. This program is thanks in part to Konami Gaming, now delivering Lucky Envelope to casinos across the U.S. on its award-winning Dimension 49J cabinet. I'll show you Cloud 9. Take my smile. Earl Hall has been ahead of the gaming industry for much of his career. His embrace of technology and analytics had led the way and resulted in the creation of his company, Axis.ai. Hall has long been an advocate of using the cloud to store and analyze gaming data in order to protect it and provide up-to-date suggestions for casino operators, which is accomplished through the Axis Core AIMS casino management system. With the embrace of cashless transactions, Axis AI has streamlined the process and allows operators to use it with confidence. He spoke with me at the Axis AI offices in Las Vegas in January. The Global Gaming Business Podcast. My guest today is Earl Hall with Axis AI. Earl, great to be back with you again. We did this right when the pandemic was starting, and so it's been almost 2 years, but it's great to be able to sit down and talk to you again.
I'm very happy to be here. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. So it sounds like you had a great year for Axis AI. I mean, you've got some really interesting products, but they really seem to be taking off now. Why don't you give us a little background on which product or service has really been driving this for you?
Well, like one of my board members said to me not too long ago, he goes, Earl, you guys have been an overnight success. That's been 10 years in the making. So, and that's probably true, but we showed up way before the industry really needed us.
Sure, right.
And we were serving niche markets. Mm-hmm. By far this year, it's been the year of cashless
right. In
the United States.
Sure, right.
And that's the reason why I've started really trying to educate on the difference between open and closed loop. Mm-hmm. Because we've been doing closed loop forever, like
sure.
I'm talking 2003, 2004, mm-hmm. even when this was more of an R&D project. But that being said, this year everybody started to turn not only towards transactional cashless, mm-hmm. but once you have a cashless client, what do you do with them?
Right.
Does the information stay in the open loop? Who owns the information? What can you do with it? And that's the reason why I've been blessed this year to give so many speeches around the world on KYC, know mm-hmm. your client,
sure.
on all the different things that create a legitimate gaming environment, because that's really what interests Axis the most, I mm-hmm. think. It's if you do cashless the right way, we can turn what some people refer to as the gambling industry mm-hmm. into a gaming industry, and then migrate it towards more of an entertainment segment, which gets rid of all of the negative connotations when the guardrails for responsible gaming and for
sure.
anti-money laundering are mm-hmm. not present,
right.
which cannot be done properly if you're not in a KYC environment. Mm-hmm. So this year was crazy for us in the cashless world, but equally crazy for us was the business intelligence side.
Mm-hmm.
So this year we did a really interesting strategic alliance with a company called QCI
okay.
here in Nevada. And we migrated in all of their business intelligence tools into our system. And it really is bringing all of our data to life so that it goes from, because the AI at Axis doesn't stand for artificial intelligence.
Okay.
It stands for actionable intelligence.
Okay.
So in other words, it's great to have loads of data, it's great mm-hmm. to have algorithms, but if they're not telling you what to do to be better, safer, faster,
exactly.
more profitable,
right.
well, they're not really worth anything.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, right. So let's talk about the cashless, for instance. How does your product work, and do you work with other cashless providers like Sightline or Global Payments, or are you standalone there?
So once again, because of the fact that we've been doing closed loop all our life,
mm-hmm.
we're a complete standalone cloud-based system. We have our own Tito plugins, ticket in, ticket out.
Mm-hmm.
We have our own smart card plugins.
Okay.
Because when you're in a closed-loop environment, you're in a closed-loop system, which
mm-hmm.
means all the parts work together already.
Okay.
So considering we have a cloud that has data collection, it has alerts, it has events management, has automatic reporting, the cashless is just another piece of what we built, like I said, over 10, 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So in the closed loop environment, whether you want to use Tito, whether you want to use Smart Card, even though we've had our players app available since mm-hmm. 2013, not very many clients started to migrate towards the app
right.
until COVID showed up. Mm-hmm. Because the connotation of cash carries COVID
sure.
showed up.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, people started looking towards our app. And our app is basically a virtual version of our closed loop, where it's heavily focused on loyalty, rewards, promotions, mm-hmm. player recognition, being able to jump the line and go from a bronze player to a gold player,
right.
a whole bunch of crazy stuff, spin to win stuff, and all kinds of things that have become the main staple of apps
okay.
in what I'd like to call the real world,
mm-hmm.
whether it be in the Starbucks world or the Uber world.
Right.
We integrated those things from the inception because when we started out, we saw the power of social media
mm-hmm.
and of loyalty and rewards. Because on the open loop side, with all due respect, it's just a cash transaction.
Right, right.
You're taking money from a bank, you're
mm-hmm.
taking money from PayPal or a Visa.
Right.
You're making sure the money is clean and the person is clean,
mm-hmm.
and you're getting the money into the casino environment.
Right.
So that open loop piece, our vision since the beginning was the open loop providers someday
mm-hmm.
will provide efficient ways of getting the money to the casino.
Mm-hmm.
We're the casino.
Right.
Because we provide the entire system to the casino and all their different parts, from marketing campaigns, loyalty rewards, promotions, jackpots, every other piece we provide, including the closed loop cashless. But the banking sector, the open loop piece, you need companies as strong, viable, integral
mm-hmm.
as Sightline to do it.
Right, right.
So on the closed loop side, we have clients in 40 countries, well, mm-hmm. 40 plus countries. We have millions of transactions a day on our server.
Mm-hmm.
But as the open loop becomes important and clients call us and say, hey, I think it's time for us to give our players the ability to put money in the machines
mm-hmm.
Directly, that's where we reach out to the regional open loop players and say, hey, do you want to plug in?
Yeah, okay.
Because we have the players, we have the clients, mm-hmm. we have the data. It's just, we would never openly touch the open loop all by ourselves.
Yeah.
It's because it's a very specialized part
sure.
of the cashless world.
So
we do
can,
the rest.
They can plug into your system.
Oh, definitely. We're,
okay.
We run on Microsoft Azure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't have this closed proprietary tech.
Right.
We run on the Microsoft Azure stack. We
mm-hmm.
run on their standard blockchain stack.
Mm-hmm.
We have X number of secure nodes all over the world. If a jurisdiction needs the data to be chained, because we use blockchain as well for
sure.
security.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say a jurisdiction like Nevada said, we love your system, Earl, but if you're going to operate in Nevada, the data can't leave Nevada. That's no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft Azure provides for private nodes inside of looped jurisdictions.
Mm-hmm.
So we've built all of the tech to be able to do that after over the last 10 years, people sometimes don't even realize that we've got over 50 million invested in access. The reason why we started out in internet challenged countries
mm-hmm.
is because we had to be able to do security, speed,
right.
and transactions in very fast amounts of time
mm-hmm.
in very internet challenged countries where data can get lost. Data
sure.
can get stolen,
mm-hmm.
all kinds of things. So we had to build a military-grade technology. So we don't even have a slot machine interface board, SMIBs, I think they're called.
Mm-hmm.
Our technology inside of a slot machine, it's an IoT device. It's a real computer that hashes the information.
Mm-hmm.
It migrates it from G2S or SAS or Pulse or whatever the language the machine is in. We don't care.
Mm-hmm.
It migrates inside of the machine to our proprietary technology, which is a blockchain-based security technology.
Mm-hmm.
And then the data leaves the slot machine through our device up to the cloud, and you're done.
Okay.
So our principle of working is much more like a fintech
mm-hmm.
than it is of a casino management system. The apps on our cloud are just products that we've built so that our clients can use ours
mm-hmm.
or somebody else's.
Yeah, Okay, I understand. So tell us about your Ames casino management system. How does it work, and then how is it different than the traditional systems that are out there?
First of all, it's sitting in the cloud.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
you don't have any hardware itself?
Nope. There's a small black box, which mm-hmm. is its trade name,
right.
sitting inside of the slot machine. It's an IoT device mm-hmm. that picks up the faulty data, because most slot machines do have skew inside of their data. Mm-hmm. We correct it with our IoT device, then we secure it, then we transport it securely to our cloud. So if a client needs an update, if a client needs a new product, if a client needs a specific report that nobody else in the world needs, mm-hmm. our development team does it somewhere in the world, because we have developers in 7 countries.
Okay.
They populate it into the cloud, mm-hmm. and it's updated. If in the very rare case the IoT device needs to be updated, everything's pushed from the cloud. So our clients are updated as often or even faster than Netflix.
Okay.
Because our cloud structure is built on the same structure as Netflix, mm-hmm. which means it's constantly being updated 24 hours a day. So 2 weeks ago, there was a major internet attack with a Java attack.
Mm-hmm.
And we were getting calls from our clients going, are we okay? I go, yeah, we updated you like 24 hours ago. He goes, but we didn't notice. I go, I know, it was a sub-second update, it's called. In other words, we just flashed our IoT devices and they turned off, turned on, takes less than a second. Mm-hmm. And the cloud was already updated. So everybody was updated in less than 7-8 minutes from the attack was announced.
Without losing any data?
No. Well, yeah. Our data's changed. You can't yeah. lose it.
Okay.
That's the other cool thing uh-huh. about the way we work.
Yeah.
Inside of the Microsoft Azure security stack, each piece of data, we have trillions of pieces of data, mm-hmm. has its own random generated password. So tomorrow morning, if a hacker called us and said, we're going to hack your data, I'd say, no, give me your email. I'll send you our data.
Really?
Because the best estimate in the quantum computing we're doing in our lab, because mm-hmm. we use quantum computers to hack our own system.
Right.
We're still over 250 years it would take to hack our cloud. Because you'd have to hack through Microsoft Azure
right.
first,
right.
their security first, to get to our data and then to our added on security.
And each of those little bits of data have a password.
Yep.
So you have
and
that.
And nobody in the world knows them.
Yeah. Sounds crazy to me.
But it's simple stuff that yeah. we're doing in the cloud world. eBay started this out, then Amazon really bit into the way of doing mm-hmm. this. Netflix is an amazing company. Then Microsoft showed up with some pretty impressive technology at a very affordable price, because when you talk cloud and you talk blockchain, mm-hmm. you have to talk cost per transaction.
Right, okay.
So we had to work to bring down that cost so much that our AIMS, as you called it, the Access Information Management System, could run in a blockchain-based cloud at almost no cost.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. So, you know, a lot of times casino managers will get nervous when you talk about the cloud. You know, you're not going to have the data on your site or in your data warehouse or something like that. I mean, what do you say to kind of calm them down to explain that it's just as safe in the cloud as it would be in their data warehouse?
I love your questions. I wish I had to know them beforehand. I'd be a lot less nervous. But put it back this way. Can you remember back in the good old days when safety was a kind of like a vault you had in your house?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Then everybody figured out that might not be a good idea, because they just came with more criminals and more dynamite.
Right.
Then you went to a bank, and then banks start getting to get hit. Mm-hmm. Well, I think everybody has realized, and I say this very sadly, 2021 was a very hard year for some of the tribes at NIGA,
right.
with the amount of times they got hit. Mm-hmm. They're calling it ransomware, but it's hacking.
Right.
I'm getting into your private server. Mm-hmm. I'm finding the hole, the back door, we call it,
right.
to get
sure.
in.
Right.
Once I'm in, it's not a question of how or why. It's a question of how much time it's going to take me to get your stuff. So if we had to have this conversation pre-COVID, like when we met,
right.
I would say there's still a lot of education to go. But I think in 2022, which is in like a couple of days, mm-hmm. everybody's realizing that when you're in a Microsoft Azure cloud, which some of the banks here in Nevada use, mm-hmm. When you're in a Microsoft Azure cloud, when you're in Amazon Web Services cloud, when you're in a Snowflake cloud, which is a really cool one as well, when you're in those clouds, you're dealing with a level of security that is not more than you have in money to pay in security. Mm-hmm. But the amount of money that Microsoft, Amazon, Snowflake are putting in the security of their clouds is more than the revenue of the casino clients we have. So the pitch is first of all, I ask them, may I see your phone? And I see if it's an Android or whatever. Then I ask them if they have a Dropbox account. So I take them up slowly to understand that they're already in the cloud. And the Excel spreadsheet that all their data is on is sitting in a Dropbox somewhere. But it's safer there than sitting on their server on property. Because the server on property will 100% guaranteed be hacked. If it's sitting in a mainstream, credible cloud, like Microsoft, like Amazon, like Google, like the others, how can it be hacked? Is Google going to risk their entire bank account by having a client being hacked for X number of millions of names, bank account numbers, or this or that other thing? Everything's gone to the cloud, but up above the cloud, there's another level. It's called blockchain cloud. What is blockchain? It's random generated passwords on data, so it's absolutely impossible to undo the data. So when you look at Microsoft Azure cloud, all that means is that you have a blockchain package there that nobody in the world can hack. Why? Because every piece of data you add on has more and more and more passwords, so security is exponential with the amount of data you have. So if you can imagine access after 10 years, it's just unfathomable the amount of passwords that are in our distributed database over Azure.
Well, let's start with the hacking thing. I was at the Indian Gaming Mid-Year Conference in California a few weeks ago, and a guy got up and was explaining that there's no way to stop a hacker from coming in, especially if you have you're into that open loop. You allow somebody into your systems, you know, by opening it up.
That's a direct question, so I'm going to get in trouble for the answer. That person is wrong. You know how I am. If you ask a question, I'll answer. First of all, when you're in a credible public cloud, and when I mean a public cloud, like a Microsoft, an Amazon Web Services, everything starts with what's called denial of service. In other words, there's a multiplicity of tools sitting on the moat, like alligators, like soldiers with arrows, cannons with gas in them, like the good old days. And they're just waiting for a suspicious event to happen. In other words, somebody doing their password six times in a row. Block them. Or somebody that's messed up their username three times. Block them. Or somebody's knocking at the printer door. The printer, by the way, is port. The printer port is the easiest place to hack. So you're looking for those things. So in the credible cloud world, you start off with denial of service. We had a major attack in Europe about a year ago. I get a phone call at 3 o'clock in the morning from our client in Europe and goes, Ames Access Information System is offline. I go, that's impossible. Random, I'm a computer sweating like a pig. I was so stressed. And it was offline. So then I call our Microsoft representative in Europe. He goes, yeah, Earl, we had to flash the lights on all of our clients for 90 seconds. There's a major attack going on in Europe right now. There's two internet borns that are hit, the nodes. And he goes, it's only going to take 2 minutes. The cloud will be back online with another security package. But he goes, we thought they were going to penetrate, so our AI tools turned everybody off. Denial of service guarantees you can't get in. Could you imagine how many clients in the world that I know of other products don't have a denial of service package? That means that the door is open.
So is this the problem that these tribal casinos had, that they don't have that kind of level of security?
So tribal, and I've mentioned this, so I'm not talking behind their backs, because I've mentioned this to their authorities. The first thing is when you have an on-site system, an on-site server, an on-site management system hosted inside of computers that are there. There is no amount of money you can invest in security that will even put a drop in a bucket close to what Microsoft, Amazon, Google, Snowflake, and the others are investing every year.
Right.
So it is just, it is unfathomable to think that anybody would ever have a server on site in 2022 when the tools exist in the cloud to be 100x. Why are we in the cloud? Because of my three best shareholders. They're all banks. They would not let us do private servers because we had a client wanted to do a private server on their own premises, which for us is easy.
Right.
Microsoft Azure, all I have to do is put my finger on the folder and drag it into their private site on their premises. But we're not allowed to do that. We can do private servers. But they have to be hosted on a site that responds to the five criteria we have for security. If not, I cannot guarantee the security 100%. And we do that. We pay companies multiple times a year. I can't give you the number, but we pay companies all over the world mega amounts of money every year to hack us, to find our vulnerabilities. Because I don't care what security is, you can only be 99.999.
Right.
We're there, we're at the highest level of security. But every time we add on new things, new features, we like to have them hacked. So we hack all of our own stuff with outsourced companies that don't know each other, and we're just anonymous IP addresses that they're hacking to make sure we get feedback all the time. Because in the cloud world, as soon as you say that you're cloud with one of the big five, like the Microsofts, once you say you're blockchain cloud, and once you say that you're paying for all of the different tools we pay for, like denial of service, another thing that we have in our cloud is called redundancy. Let's, and we did this after the Europe attack last year, let's say that Europe gets completely hammered by an attack on their internet boards. Well, now inside of our system, as soon as we detect that a node on the internet has gone offline, we switch to another Microsoft Azure master node somewhere else in the world. So if somebody's in Europe and Europe goes down, instead of being a couple of minutes like it was last year, now it's between a half and three quarters of a second while our system switches to another master node with the same features, same GDPR, the same security, everything else, but in a different part of the world. Because we localize all of our data according to the jurisdictional rules. Like all of our clients in Europe flow through the European Microsoft Azure. Why? Just to make sure that they feel that they're inside of the laws of the European Union. Same the US, same everywhere else in the world. And that's the reason why virtual technologies like Microsoft Azure are way more secure, way faster, and our clients sleep at night because they know that we don't.
Inspired by the gift-giving tradition of the red envelope, Konami's Lucky Envelope Premium Slot Series is bringing mystery cash prizes to players. Guests can open up their luck with mystery jackpot events, instant symbol-driven credit prizes, and more. See the video and download the brochure by visiting konamigaming.com/luckyenvelope. And now back to our podcast.
So let's talk about blockchain. I went to the conference that GSA put on in Reno a couple of years ago, and I came away from that conference hearing that blockchain is not as secure as people think, that it is very hackable. Did I hear wrong again or what?
First of all, that conference was organized by techies for techies,
which
means that they all love to debate theory.
And
I guess I'm responsible because I'm the guy that does all the blockchain stuff for IGSA. And GSA is doing incredible work there. IGSA in 2022 is going to shock the gaming world with all of the things that are coming out to protect the members and accelerate the ability to be bigger, better, faster. So I'm really excited what GSA is doing this year. But that being said, nothing in this world is 100% sure.
Right.
So if you asked me, how does a quantum computer compare to today's blockchain? I'd say, it doesn't fare well. But who has quantum computers?
Right. Not many people.
We do.
Yeah,
we don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Because we keep improving our security packages based on what we see coming mm-hmm. in about 5 years from now. Mm-hmm. But blockchain is the only thing we have on this planet right now that is secure. Unless you want to be completely offline.
Yeah.
And completely offline means you can't even network in a slot machine into a server on a property.
Right.
Because as soon as you have that blue wire, I can cut it, sniff it, hack into it, read what's going on. I can do all kinds of crazy mm-hmm. stuff. So blockchain will bring you to 99.999. There's nothing else on the planet that can get you above 91, I think is about the highest SLA, software licensing agreement you can get, service mm-hmm. licensing.
Yeah.
So if you have, if you ask anybody, what does a local server give you in terms of security? It'll depend on what your chief security officer on the property is willing to bet as risk.
Yeah.
Whereas blockchain is the only thing that can give you 99 and three nines at the end.
Right, right.
Why? Because it uses a methodology of passwords before and after the piece of data. And every password is chained together so that if I have 5,000 pieces of data, I have way more than 5,000 passwords that I have to hack to be able to get into that data.
Okay.
So no, there's nothing secure on this planet 100%. But you have blockchain that's at 99.999 and you have everything else that's running between nothing and not good enough.
Right, right. Sorry. All right, well, let's talk about interpreting the data. I mean, you're talking about all these trillions of pieces of data you have. And like you said earlier, if you don't know what to do with it, what good is it? You know, so how do you, and do you use artificial intelligence to kind of interpret that data? And do you make suggestions to the casinos about what that data means?
That's an awesome question, because that's what I spent 10 years of my life teaching at the master's degree level in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Data is really worth nothing, in my opinion,
right,
unless you can do something with it.
Mm-hmm.
When we started out Axis, I'll never forget them asking me the question. This is like a million years ago. He goes, Earl, you know, SAS has the capacity to pick up 70-something different data points.
Mm-hmm.
But he goes, nobody in the gaming industry is picking up more than 10, 15, 20 pieces of data. Everybody's using the same data. Are we going to pick up all that? I go, yep. He goes, Earl, do you know how much data that's going to be in 5 years? I go, yep. He goes, what are we going to do with that data? I said, I have no clue. But I didn't.
Right, sure.
But the principle was, is when you have every single piece of data, somebody will ask you for it. But coming out of the Army, my favorite company in the world back then was Cognos.
Right.
And Cognos had something called a cube, where they had a three-dimensional way of taking two pieces of data, and without real artificial intelligence back then, they were able to correlate it into actionable intelligence. In other words, we found this, we found that, here's what it generated as a result, we recommend you do this instead to change that. That became the mantra of me teaching for 10 years when I learned Cognos.
Yeah.
And when we started out Access, the thing was, is as the sophistication of the gaming industry evolved,
mm-hmm.
we would be able to correlate things bigger, better, faster, so that you could reduce the number of machines on the slot machine floor. Why? Get rid of everything that's under the median.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, focus on the right denomination and the right game so that you're pushing the right products to the right people.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, the biggest waste of money in our gaming industry, promotions.
Yeah.
Why? Because vastly promotions are sent out vanilla, and you're not sending them out according to pre-programmed metrics, whether it be sure. last visit, play, time on device, number of visits, but you don't have access in real time to all of these things.
Right.
So we started generating all of these models of data to be able to tell our clients, this is the thing you should do. And then I met the guru, I call him, Andrew Cardinal.
Okay.
Andrew and I have been friends forever, but we never really crossed paths to work to, mm-hmm. together. And I sat down with him a couple of years ago with a major complex problem I wanted to solve, because I knew there was an inefficiency on one of the casino floors of one of our best clients in the world,
right.
in Mexico. And I said, I've got to fix this for this guy, because I know he's missing 12% of his revenue, but I said, I can't get it out of the data.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, and if you know anything about Andrew Cardo, Andrew just looked at me and goes, duh, Earl, this is simple. I go, here we go again. I know, Andrew, I'm stupid, but please give it to me. And he goes, Earl, you have all the data. You're just missing this filter of how to present it as something that is actionable.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, literally, 15 minutes later, he goes, this is how you do it. And he showed it to me with my own data. And first, I was really insulted. Number two, I was in awe. Number three, I said, you are now my chief data scientist. Mm. Here's your benediction. You're starting in less than an hour.
Yeah.
And Andrew jumped on the bandwagon and really became the guy in the team
mm-hmm.
that brought us from too much data
mm-hmm.
to loads of actionable intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when he built QCI, I said, here we go. Andrew, I have a different program for you now. And he's working with another genius. His name is Dr. Ralph Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, now you two guys are going to take our data and you're going to build actionable intelligence models so that we can bring a whole new level to our clients where they're not getting, they're getting reports now because
right.
we do a whole bunch of fun things with our reports, like automatically generated reports, abnormality reports. You can build your own ad hoc reports because I'm still the greatest disciple of crystal reports on this planet. But what Andrew and Ralph have brought to Access is a whole new way of saying, we're going to eat the data, we're going to build pre-built actions, and we're going to push out recommendations and decisions from now on.
Mm-hmm.
So the new level of Access in 2022, it's called Access BI,
okay.
Business Intelligence. Our new website will be up and running in a month or two, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the biggest initiatives we've worked on for the last, Andrew's been with us for 2 years. So the biggest thing we've been working on now for about 18, 19 months is to get a whole new module in our system that's saying, hey, Earl, or hey, Roger, we know you're doing it this way and you're running at this level of profit, but if you do it this way, our data shows that you can get 5% more profit here.
Mm-hmm.
Or we are sure there's theft here for this reason. Or you have this machine that's performing like this because of that. Do that and you'll get rid of it. And in 2022, it's all about bringing out pre-digested information so that you can virtually sit with a brilliant casino manager that the cool thing when you talk to the old guys or the old ladies is they already know, but they don't have the proof.
Right. Right.
And now you have this new era of people working in casinos that want the data, they want the proof. Whereas the old schoolers, like my mentor, Mike Telesmanic, who
mm-hmm.
taught me literally everything I know about the industry, I owe so much to him and Frank Fantini. But between the both of them, when you see people like this, all they need now is the pre-digested data to say, I want to do it this way. What does the data say? Well, the data is saying the same thing as you. Great. Let's go there.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's looking for data today, and it's hard to get data because a lot of people don't pick up the SAS information the way it should be.
Sure.
Number two, it's not corrected to true data because we run in what's called a true data model. So there's no skew in the data. But number three, once you have all that data, you have to break it down into small chunks that you can take very concrete actions with. And that's what we've been working so hard on for the last 2 years.
Okay, great, great. I just have one more question. How is the convergence of online and land-based gaming affecting your company? I mean, obviously you can serve the land-based casinos, but are you serving more and more online casinos as well?
Nope, we have no interest in the online
no,
world.
No? Okay.
Nope. No, like I said, and this is going to sound strange, and I know I just looked at the camera because I'm actually looking out at my mentor. I fell in love with the land-based industry, and I know I'm going to get in trouble with what I'm going to say, but the online gambling industry is sitting in your basement in a bathrobe, clicking on a mouse, playing a gambling game.
Right.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Whereas the land-based industry still has this aura to it. It still has this magic.
Sure.
You get dressed up to go to the Bellagio. Mm-hmm. The Marina Bay Sands in Singapore is absolutely magnificent.
Yeah.
You get dressed up. Mm-hmm. You have a great meal. You meet some friends. You play a few games. Or you go to your corner store in Georgia and you see the same three guys you get gas with every Friday afternoon. You play a couple of games. You get a bottle of Coke. You buy a couple of lottery tickets and you go home happy.
Mm-hmm.
The land-based industry deserves, one, to be protected.
Mm-hmm.
Two, it deserves to be brought up to the level where it actually is. It's, the land-based gaming industry exists because you want an experience. You're not out there to gamble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you want to gamble, stay home in your bathrobe.
Sure.
So if you want a game,
right,
you go to an establishment where they're working hard on food,
mm-hmm,
they're working hard on entertainment, they're working really hard on hotel rooms if that's what they have.
Mm-hmm.
But more other, they have a guy like a Mike Patterson at the Barona,
mm-hmm,
who's walking around the casino floor going, are you happy? Are you okay?
Right.
Can I do anything for you? Would you like a bottle of water? I'll go get it for you. Our industry, a land base is not a gambling industry.
Right. It's an entertainment,
industry.
Right.
It's a customer service industry because, as I saw the ship share of Aristocrat, they've had a crazy good year.
Yeah. For sure.
But it's the same game in every casino.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the difference? It's the heart,
mm-hmm,
that the casino manager has, that
right,
lady has, like when Debbie Nutton was at MGM.
Yeah.
That's walking around that casino floor. And I learned that from her. We were walking along the floor doing something. She stopped, picked up a dirty Kleenex and put it in her pocket. And I went, wow, that's our industry.
Yeah, no question.
That marked me forever.
Yeah.
So our job is to empower the land-based industry to be as integral as possible. No money laundering, no addictive gambling.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is to give them a perfect cashless experience, KYC, know your client,
right,
so that they know how to protect gamblers against themselves, they know how to promote to the right people, and they know how to be efficient. Why? So they can build their entertainment venue to the maximum they can.
Mm-hmm.
I know, for some people that might sound corny, but that's the only reason we exist.
Yeah, great. And some of these recommendations you make through your systems have to do with other things other than actually just gambling. It has to do with, you know, what are you going to offer somebody, a free meal or a free room or a seat at a great concert or something like that.
Our job is to give them the tools,
mm-hmm,
and the education because they already know how to run their business.
Right.
When I sit with a casino operator, first thing I tell them is, hey, I'm not an operator. I don't know your business. I'll never know your business. You have it in your blood, but I got the tools to make it better.
Yeah. Well, Earl, it's great to sit down with you again, and we're looking forward to hearing what's going on in 22 because it sounds like you've got a really interesting year coming up.
Yeah, it's finally our breakout year, I think, from what we've had in 2021, and it's all because of three things. One, I have the best shareholders on the planet. What I'm telling you today, mm-hmm, they believed in me almost 15 years ago,
yeah,
when I told them that's what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Two, our clients. Can you imagine clients in third world countries signing up to a cloud information management system 10, 15 years ago?
Yeah.
They believed in us way before mainstream did. And three, this is the first company I've ever said this, but even including the 10 years I was in the Army, I have the best team I've ever worked for in my entire life right now. The warriors that I work for are the craziest people I've ever worked for, and they only have one thing in mind. Our mission is to make this industry a much better place so that when you sit down in a venue talking to your buddies and your buddy goes, oh, you're in the car industry? Yep. You're in the financial services industry? And you go, you're in the land-based gaming industry? Oh, wow. So they don't look at us as being a gambling industry anymore.
Right.
They look at us as being a safe and fun entertainment industry. And my team is so dedicated to that it just blows my mind.
Well, Earl, thanks for sitting down, and we'll definitely stay in touch because I want to hear all the exciting things that are going to go on in 22.
Thank you so much. Thanks for the opportunity to speak.
this good to be sure you may make it on your own.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast with thanks again to Konami Gaming. Check out KonamiGaming.com/LuckyEnvelope for a look at the newest original series on Dimension 49J. To learn more about the cloud and analytics in gaming, visit ggbmagazine.com. Subscribe to GGB News to get all the news of the gaming industry delivered to your desktop every Monday morning. Sign up at ggbnews.com and use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.